I heard Dr. Caroline Leaf say this. That a lot of people, she was talking about stress. I remember saying, well, I'm in a stressful situation. Said, when you decide that that stress is good for you. Do you understand it? So, stress. When you decide that this is what? Good for me. Pressure is coming. When you decide that it is good for me, it says it changes, we're talking about medically speaking, the response of your, changes your body's response. Instead of it breaking down, it starts getting built up. And I said, how you perceive a stressful situation is more important to your health than how frequently you encounter it. Perceiving events negatively is linked to a 43% decrease in the health of people over, all right, the next 12 months. In other words, the way you perceive the situation. So David saw it as negative. God said, change your attitude towards it. This is what we're saying. Trials and tribulation have come for the sake of the word. Change your attitude. This is a secret to life. Where he says, you've shown me the path of life. And I say, the secret path of life. Change your attitude towards it. Change your attitude towards what people call stressful situation. Situations there. He said, thank God that those things have come your way. Thank God, all right, and begin to rejoice. Because it's there are things that are, your inheritance is located in that thing. You understand what I'm saying? Your where you are standing on, it says the lines have fallen onto you in pleasant places. You have a goodly heritage of the Lord. The question is that you are seeing it as something that is bad. You are seeing it as a challenge. Am I going to write an article very soon, next 1 week? What I learned from the Archbishop that was about personal crisis. And when I met him, he said, look, one of the most historic events in Christianity in this country was in 1984-85 nationwide crusades of the Archbishop Idausa. Well, how did it start? He said it was under severe criticism throughout the press in Nigeria that he went to meet God. That why is there so much pressure? I'm just trying to serve you. And God said, don't you see what is going on? He said what? He said, free advertisement is being done for your ministry. He said, get up and make use of all of your name that is going to splash everywhere. And in each of those cities where the newspaper goes, go and hold crusades for me. He said, some people will come just out of curiosity to see the man who is stealing. And when they see signs and wonders, they will go back home and bring more people. So that's how we started. All right? He said, stadiums were full. Tafa Balewa Square was filled out. He started, you know, we've said this before, that the Bible says ships are driven by fierce winds. Which means fierce winds is what actually will push you. It's not the engine that drives the ship. It's the wind that carries it. So let me tell you, if you are not there, when fierce winds are blowing, because when the wind is over, everybody returns to normal. But some people have gone up. Are you fancy? So when the way you see it, if some other person sees it, and this is what David said. He said, look, I saw it right. That look, the lines, you know, some of us, when they say the lines are falling onto employment places, we only say that when you get a new job. But if they sack you from a job, What is happening? But David is saying, when they sacked him, he said, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage of the Lord. Then he said, I will bless the Lord. Then counsel comes. Then my reins instruct me. Do you get this here? In the what? Night season. So instruction begins to come. And we've explained this, that the root of our Christian faith is that God loves you. That is the root of the Christian faith. In other words, the person, the strongest Christian is the person that says, when negative things are blowing, says nothing can separate me from the love of God. He will not open his mouth and say, where is God? Where is God? What happened to God? What happened to God? Where is God? Right? There is no trace. He is worshiping God there, full of God. Filled, I saw this, with the fullness of God. It takes deep roots, all right, in God. Then begins to bless the Lord. And as he's doing that, God begins to give you counsel. Your reins begin to instruct. That's why I said, I have set the Lord always before me, because it's and he's at my right hand, I shall not be what? Moved. He said, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth, and my flesh shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. Do you get what I'm saying? So, he was in a difficult situation when he wrote the psalm. And the key to getting out of it was that the core key here is that the Lord will give me counsel. And my reins will instruct me. In other words, what you are now praying to God for is this: Lord, I'm right here on this spot. I worship, I praise you, you're right here before me, I've set you before me, I shall not be moved. You have not left me, neither have you forsaken me. But you want to lead and guide me. So what you begin to ask for are instructions, and I'll show this here, teaching and guidance. And what begins to happen is, moment by moment, God begins to lead you. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 10. There is the most important thing. David said, no matter where I am, the Lord will give me what? Counsel. And my reins will do what? Instruct me. Listen, and this prayer we're praying here during this week, this is what I'm teaching is. Most important thing. Right? God wants to show everybody around that you can be positioned anywhere. If I give you counsel, you can become anything from anywhere. Are you following what I'm saying? So that nobody will attribute it to any other thing apart from the fact that God gave you what? Counsel. So communion with the Holy Spirit is the most important thing in the sacrament. That's why it says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you, he will lead you. Look at it here. Deuteronomy chapter 32 here. And verse 10. Or 9. The Lord, for the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 9. Jacob is the Lord of his inheritance. Now verse 10. He found him in a desert land. See that? In the waste Holland desert, he says, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, And there was no strange god in him, with him. He made him to ride on the high places. So he brought him from the desert, from the wilderness, howling wilderness, and from the waste howling wilderness, and from a desert land, to ride in the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the field. Made him to suck honey out of the rock, all right? And then, and what now happened was that, verse 15, he waxed fat. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. And then he forsook the Lord. In fact, the real challenge was that the blessing was what affected him. All right? But when he says that he led him, as the eagle stirs up her nest, fluttereth her over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, and taketh them. This is what he's saying. And this is what God does to us. When the eagle begins to lay its eggs, it builds the nest. There are thorns. All right? Huge thing to protect it so that other birds will not come in. So the thorns are there. But then it gets soft material, picks it, and cushions the inner part. All right? And then lays the eggs there. Then after some time sits, and then when they finally come out, they are now seated on very soft material. And the eagle goes to get food and comes and feeds the eaglets. So the eaglets are happy. When the time has now come for the eaglets to learn how to fly, this is what God does to some of you. It doesn't just say fly. Because you are so comfortable where you are, it goes to the soft material. Remember, there are thorns, but he covered it. Starts removing the soft material. So where was comfortable? Oh, my boss loves me. I have favor with everybody. It's now, ooh! Are you following me? Yeah? They throw you up. That, ooh! Says, or else you won't leave this place. This is where you will be till forever. So, you're going to, so they are now willing to leave the nest. So he carries them one by one to show them how to fly. Places them. They fly. Ooh, they enjoy it. Come back. One day, he carries them. All right? They fly. Ooh, and then suddenly, this is what he says. Flutter, spread abroad her wings. Take them. Drops them from the wing and leaves them in a free fall. And then it's flying around them. So you, I've been saying, God bless me, your testimony. After some time, Jesus says, it's time for maturity. He carries you. You know, you hear of somebody else, things are not, I know my God. You know, boom! He leaves you. You are in free fall. Do you understand what I'm saying? Free fall means it looked like everything was working. One day, everything fell apart. The eaglet is screaming, and then the mother one is flying around to show it by spreading its wing. Now, all you have to do is spread your wing. Spread your wing. Spread your wing. Spread your wing. Can't you see? Before it smashes itself on a rock, it picks it back up. Takes it back again. Does it until finally it spreads his wing. So you know what? Since there are strange gods around you, in other words, instead of following God, you have uncle this, auntie this, friend that, friend this. So God begins to tamper with all those things, disappointments. You understand what I'm saying? You want to, he says, what you need to do is to listen to me. Because when you start drawing dependence on men, you are looking for disappointment. Are you following me? And so the Lord begins to teach that until you start listening to the Lord, you are going to be having these yo-yo experiences around the whole place. Nothing real solid. Then look at Psalm 32. So what you should pray is worshiping God and asking for guidance. Worshiping God and asking Him for guidance. Psalm 32, 7. Just quickly. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of what? Deliverance. So you see, preserve, songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee. So God first instructs you. Then He will teach you. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Then after He teaches you, He will now guide you. So I can give you an instruction without explaining. You understand this? So He instructs. Then He explains. Then as you start implementing it, He guides you in it. And He said, I will guide you with my own eye. In other words, when you guide somebody with your eyes, you look, you know, if you, let's assume you are playing a game with another player, you look at the eyes of the other person to see what that person wants to do. In other words, what God is saying is this. When something is happening and, you know, you've started implementing what He's teaching, He said, if you look at my eyes, with my eyes, I will give you signal. So many times when people start saying, you know, like someone wrote me once and said to me, I said, I'm not answering your question because this is where you need the guidance. So from your teaching, there are three options. I said, you find from the Holy Ghost which one. Because if I say the one now it becomes pastor said. So this is where you now need the guidance of God. Where you need God to guide you. Right? He said, and I will guide you with my own eyes. Where you go to Him and say, okay, Lord, so what do I do here? And you now begin to understand how God guides you in your heart as to, you know, the two can be correct, but this is the better one. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, where you now begin, and that's the kind of communion, if we're going to get into what God wants for us in our lives, all right? That's the kind of, you know, kind of communion that He wants to do. And if you go about things this way, you accept, you praise God, you worship Him, you sing songs. That look, my friend, I'm praising you, God, for, you know, my life. Yeah, my lines are falling in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage of the Lord, right? The lines are falling to me in pleasant places is an old, all right, Jewish way of saying that the boundaries of my property, the lines, which means that God has allocated, the lines are boundaries. So it's like saying that, you know, let's go and show, they've divided the land. Then you go there. The lines fell to me in pleasant places. Chai, the property they gave me. I thank God. You understand this? So, people that have that kind of experience is because they press through what other people cause. Are you following what I'm saying? They press through what other people, they worship through what other people open their mouth and they do what? They curse. All right? Because I've seen that. God flies through the storms. He doesn't take off when the weather is nice. Because all of us can do that. When the storms are out, is where divinity manifests itself. Are you following what I'm saying? That's where divinity. I told you when Daniel was going to his corporation to work in the morning, Nebuchadnezzar was the empty. There was an idol. How many Christians can do it? Idol in front of the office. Idol. He said, that's the office we are going to. And every staff will come there. They enter the office. Only four people, Daniel and his people, walked past. Maybe they didn't call you to come and bow down. Face your work. The day they called them, come and bow down. was the day of assignment. They didn't resign. They knew it was the day of what? Promotion. If it's Christian, before they even touch you, as you are coming, This is why, let me tell you this, we don't have the capacity in real life. Most of what we do in Christianity is emotionality. Just get emotional. And as Dr. Leaf said, we speak Christianese. We are lingua franca in that. Once we get out of our, it's like we are lost. You understand? So, not tough enough to succeed. They put you in civil service. You, before they say ha, you have resigned. How then will they make you governor when you have resigned? From day one, once you show that, they say, let's just take a little bit of wine. You say, I'm born again, I don't take. But when you sip the wine, then when it now gets to the place, you now say, I'm born again. Which born again? Well, if from the get-go, they said, do one small thing, you say, no, I'm a Christian. So, from the day Daniel entered, when they put meat to idol, he said, we are not touching. So, everybody knew this is light and darkness. And they respected them for that. Do you get what I'm saying? If they're abusing people in the office, you quietly get up. They know that this person will not. Do you get what I'm saying? After some time, they themselves will. You see people come to meet you and say, look, you are not even pastor. They say, Pastor, I have a problem. I need to talk to you about it. But if you part, they say, well, we are going to the club. You two follow them. As you're playing music, you're moving. Then tomorrow, you are now preaching born again. At which point again? They don't want to hear. But when they say they're going to come, look, don't drop pastor at home. Pastor will not follow us to born again. Let me tell you this. Bad people always want to have good friends. Look, bad people, they want some good person around them. Bad people. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, and by the power of your spirit, we ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.